Cooler Chronicles, episode 44. Can you believe it? My name is Adam. I am your host, your humble host. And with me, as usual, is Jared. Jared Kalmus, as I live and breathe.
Good afternoon. Later. I would say ladies and gentlemen, but I doubt we have any ladies with us. We've got six people listening. Look at that.
No, it's going up. It's like eight now. It's crazy.
I can invite my Facebook friends, too.
Yeah, there you go. It's going on live. So Jared's taking care of spreading the word right now as we're going live on the Cooler Chronicles podcast. The thing is, it's really hard to do like a sports, like especially like a football team kind of podcast over the summer. Everybody's gone. We're kind of doing stuff. You know what I mean? So like for those of you been asking, like, where's the podcast? What's going on? Well, that's what's going on. We're living life, man. Doing things. You done anything fun this summer? You went anywhere? I saw you were at a Houston game, checking out the Sox or something, right? Is that what you were
doing? Yeah. Well, I went to Rio Doso, New Mexico for like my real vacation for the summer. Oh, yeah. I went to a casino there. It was pretty cool. And then I went to watch the Red Sox play in Houston the last few days.
Cool, man. That's cool. Yeah, like, you know, if any of you guys listen to my other podcast, the Deranged Penguin one, you know that we went to Lollapalooza, had tons of fun. It was great. I'm still kind of burnt up. I'm like reddish brown now. Anyway, so let's get into it, dude. The University of Texas San Antonio, UTSA, the Roadrunners, are entering another season. And really, this is the one everybody's been waiting for, you know? This is the one, the Conference USA, you got Texas rivals here. You got full scholarships there, you know what I mean? You know, you have experience, some experience in the roster. And we'll get into that later. But this is it. This is like basically the beginning. The rest of it was, you know, for all tents and purposes, right? That's how that phrase go. For all intents and purposes, those are like practice runs. I mean, because now we can compete for bowl games. Now we can compete for conference championships. Now it really starts. So how do you feel about it? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you scared?
Oh, I'm definitely excited. I hope the football team is as confident as I am. Because I feel like they can hold their own against pretty much everyone we're going to bring to see on the field this year. But yeah, the baby steps are over. I mean, UTSA is not going to be in the hockey anymore. This is a real D1 football program.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't like, and the thing is, like, and I talked a little bit about this I talked a little bit about this on the blog, saying that basically, I think if there's any trend with this team, you know, like if 3 years, I guess, you know, 2 points make a line, right? So that's a trend. It's been that this is a team that exceeds expectations. And, you know, so like last season, I think, was it Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine there, they picked them to win 3 games, and they won 8. And I think that is significant. It's a significant bump. This year, they also predict 3. But that said, it is going to be a tougher schedule. And I think, but, you know, like, then again, I said this last season. I kind of predicted, like, 6 wins, I think, last season. And then went ahead and got 8.
I think any way you slice it, UTSA probably has the most difficult schedule for a mid-major program. Probably a schedule that's difficulter than some major programs. Maybe like some bottom feeder Big Ten schools are going to play 2 or 3 FCS teams.
Yeah, it's hold on. I'm sending the text here. Yeah, it's like that Oklahoma State game. That is that's a kick in the mouth there, you know, to start out the season with. It's not any kind of light, but I think that's kind of like the real introduction for a lot of UTSA fans. You know, like for the mainly for the ones that are like not used to college football. You know, there's a lot of team guys that have been fans of like UT or something like that, and they kind of know how it goes. Like you start out with a couple cupcakes, and then you get into the real conference season, which is pretty much playing, you know, Oklahoma in mid October. In UTSA's case, they're basically a cupcake. It's cupcake time, you know, and they're gonna go out there and get rolled out in front of Oklahoma State and say, you know, we're going to get beat by 40. At least that's the thinking by everybody, you know? I see Oklahoma State romping in that one, but there are different levels to getting beat. There's like that one where you get like 3 yards the whole game and you just look completely outmatched. And there's the other kind where you hang with them to like halftime and they're like within 10 points, but then the depth and the the difference in talent really kind of shows there, you know? And I think of the two that are two possibilities, the latter is obviously the one that you're rooting for.
If there's ever a game where a moral victory is acceptable, I would have to say it's against a team that's predicted to win the Big 12.
Yeah, definitely. And that's really it. Hold on here. Responding to a text.
Yeah, we're actually texting each other.
Yeah, it's kind of a different setup here. And Jerry, like, he doesn't have a mic right now, so he's kind of trying to make do over there. So if it sounds funny, let us know. I know somebody left a comment. All right, cool. All right, nobody's tweeted at me. So if you're listening, again, tweet at us. Either Cooler Chronicle or my name, Aztec Skin, or Jared's name. Any one of his 12 Twitter handles, I guess. How many Twitter handles you got, bro?
I got three.
Three? All right.
Well, so. I mean, I have my personal one, my personalized Cooler Chronicles one, and just the generic Cooler Chronicles one.
All right.
I'm streamlining my life. Minimalism is the new trend. I'm going to be hip and hop on board of that.
Yeah, I have a shit ton. Well, it's mainly because I have to run a shit ton, but it's fine. It's fine. I can handle it. All right, so like, yeah, dude. That one, I don't know. It's going to be good to see them out there and play again, start play. And it's good. It's going to be good to see, I don't know, like them go against a really good team and kind of test themselves, but it is kind of scary, and I don't want to see a complete beatdown. I think they'll bounce back. I mean, you don't want to see injuries and things like that, you know? But it's going to be fun seeing a real quote-unquote team out there instead of, like, you know, directional lower division school. Which a lot of people
Yeah, give really, I just want to see a good first half. I mean, yeah. If UTSA keeps it within two scores at the time, I think your average San Antonio passing interest in UTSA fan. Pleased with that.
Yeah, definitely. That would definitely be welcome. All right, so, I mean, I didn't mean to get into schedule talk like right now. I mean, it's still kind of a month away. We're talking about the roster. I think the biggest, for the casual fan, you're like, all right, so what's going on? You know, what's changed since I seen them last? I think mostly it's the fact that they lost some guys. Well, this is kind of happened at the end of last season. But, like, they lost some defensive backs. And that's going to be the real hole. That's basically what every preview says. Like, oh, you got to look out for the defense. You know, what is it going to be? How are they shoring up there? What do they look like? What are your expectations for the defense there?
Well, that's one of the things that are hard to quantify because, yes, UTSA did lose four defensive backs. But then you look at, it frees up scholarships. The guys that they brought on are extremely talented. Really sought-after recruits that could play anywhere, really. A guy like Kevin Adams dominated as a cornerback in JUCO, out in California. Of course, Aeneas Hendricks was committed to Texas Tech before Tuberville got fired. Had a ton of offers as well. So, you know, these are guys that are probably going to come in and be better than the guys that they're replacing. And there's also a team chemistry impact. You know, from what I've seen in interviews, it seems like the veterans have a lot of respect for these new players coming in. Because they've seen their talent level and how much they've worked this summer. So I think it's going to overall be a net gain. Obviously, you want to have consistency in your program. You want to have guys that are carried over from last year that kind of really out. But as UTSA progresses as a program, they're going to be getting better and better talent coming into the program every year. So in a lot of ways, losing those guys last year is going to be an advantage. It's just that. You know, if Tulsa blazes us for 400 yards in the air, you're going to be like, well, these new guys suck. But if we had the old guys out there, it'd probably be 500.
I mean, I totally agree. But the problem is that you have guys that come into the program. They're definitely not better, I guess, as far as, like, experience. You know, like, the guys they lost had played. They played on the team. They were in practices, et cetera, et cetera. And so you're losing some of that. And so that's kind of bad.
Losing Eric Brown. I mean, that guy transferred in. He didn't even practice the first week of the season. He was already number one. I'm in an argument for him as a teammate because the rest of the football that he provided a little bit of leeway there.
Yeah. Did you get quiet all of a sudden?
What?
I don't know, like you trailed off, sorry. I think your audio is kind of, it's messing with me here. Out of that, another big thing that's kind of been like the running theme for this team has been the linemen, the offensive line. What do you see that? How do you see the progression to this point as far as like, you know, starters, quality starters, and then the depth behind it?
Well, I think if you look at it, I think the line has 5 to 6 guys that are phenomenal, get the job done, don't miss any assignments, don't give up sacks. They're not overpowering. UTSA is not the type of team to come out and just rush for 300 yards on anybody, except for Texas State, because we did do that. That was cool. But once you get past those top 5 guys, once you get into your secondary, it's pretty iffy. You got a guy like Cody Cole. He's a retro freshman that hasn't played in a game yet, but he did great in the spring. He added 30 pounds this year, all the way up to 6'5", 295. Found his way on the depth chart already for this fall camp. But do you really want to throw a freshman out there that's never played in a game before against Oklahoma State in New Mexico?
No.
So, you know, pretty concerning. And right next to him on the depth chart is Reed DeRoth, who he's a true freshman, probably 19 years old, never played. And then you got Jordan Gray, who was a quarterback in high school. So depth chart is pretty damn conspicuous, really concerning. But yeah, again, those top 5 guys are going to get the job done. No doubt about that.
And we talked about this last season that I kind of made the contention that like the scary thing about playing like bigger, stronger, faster kind of teams is that, you know, bigger, stronger guys smashing up to big, strong guys create some damage to, you know, some body parts. Some of those guys get hurt, and then that means we're going to have, you know, one of these shaky backups, we'll say, or like unproven backups would be nice and say that. And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head about like, UTSA not being able to run the ball so easily on certain teams. I think football study hall, what's his face there? The guy does on SB Nation. He kind of pointed that out, like UTSA's biggest run games are against, you know, some of the less good teams. And some of their worst games came against that. It were happened in that 4-game losing streak right in the middle of the season. But the thing is, like you also mentioned, that Eric Sosa does not get sacked. That is good. It's great. You don't want to lose yards. If you can't run the ball, you know, that's fine. You just don't want to lose yardage. You don't want to get hit in the backfield for like 4 or 5 yard loss. And that's basically what a sack does to you. And they don't do that. So that's great.
A lot of that credit, of course, goes to Eric and offensive coordinator Brown, of course. You know, part of that is scheme. Like, UTSA has a lot of short, quick-hit routes where Eric's always going to have a dump-off option down low. And also just his peripheral perception in the pocket is phenomenal.
Yeah, he's able to get rid of the ball. You know, like we said this about him. It's kind of repeating ourselves here. He can he makes good decisions. And, like, our only quibble with him has been, like, his accuracy, but he improved that last season. And, you know, he's their best player, the best offense player in the most important position. So it's great. It's going to be weird when he's gone. It's going to be, I think everybody, including me, is going to kind of point at that position. It's like, wow, what a great guy that UTSA had there. And now they don't. Who's going to step in that void?
But going back to that offensive line, I know I've written extensively about this, as have others, but really when you look back at UTSA's recruiting, offensive line is the only position that they've really struggled to bring in quality recruits. You know, like last year, it should have been a miracle recruiting class for UTSA, considering the surprising record, huge attendance numbers, beat out the rival last game of the season and all that. And they were still not able to bring in any guys that really look like they're ready to start. Or, you know, at least challenge for a starting position. You got some freshmen there that are kind of there by default.
What do you think that is? What is the reason? Is it they just don't have a guy, an offensive line guru, or like is it the recruiters? they're going out there and they're just not able to you know, give them the right pitch, or is it the program? Like, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I thought aloud maybe that the offensive line coach is great. Coach Marshall does a fantastic job. He has not so talented guys, keeps them up, teaches them really good technique. You know, the results show on the field. Like, really, the UTSA offensive line has performed pretty well. But I think that offensive line coach is usually a position filled by a young, you know, cool, hip, fresh out of college assistant coach. I think a lot of the schools that UTSA is competing against for these offensive line recruits, they have, you know, your Cliff Kingsbury, Kevin Sumlin, cool type of, I want to play for this guy coach. Whereas Coach Marshall's like the hard ass, more of like a Saban type, where he might not be fun to play for, but he's going to make you a lot better. And honestly, I think a lot of kids are turned off by that. They really want the easy way through college, playing college ball.
Well, and I guess...
That's more theory. Yeah. Probably not a good one.
I mean, I'm sure there's some truth to that. I'm sure, like, it comes up. If it's not the reason, it's probably a factor in there. Like, maybe it's not 70% of the decision, but maybe it's, you know, the one that makes them, you know, switch schools. Or like, yeah, well, you know, all things being equal, this guy that's going to coach me is young and he's going to understand me a little bit better.
Yeah.
Is that, like, a referendum on, you know, these kids today, wags finger? I don't know. I mean, you know, it may be something else. I don't know. But obviously going forward, that's going to need to be corrected, you know. I mean, I don't know, unless you just, you know, you kind of cross your fingers and hope you don't get too many devastating injuries across the front line. You just start populating that thing with seniors, you know, as they come up through the program. That's not really likely. There's you know, football has – you get hurt in playing football, so – That's not going to happen. We'll see, though. We'll definitely see. This season, it's kind of a murderer's row of teams. And we talked about this before. Do you want to have, like, a little throw-it-out-there prediction? What's your early season prediction? I mean, this is not the official one. We'll do that later. But, I mean, what's your feeling on this team?
I'd do a plus-minus of 7 wins. No, it's 6 wins, but I can't see 8. I can see 7 at the most, probably in 6. Which I think would be a great season, all things considered.
Yeah, what is it? New Mexico, Oklahoma State, Arizona, UTEP, Houston, Marshall, Rice, UAB, Tulsa, Tulane, North Texas, hey now, and Louisiana Tech. Like, I don't know, like, see, like, Dave Campbell over here, he picks a 3-9 record prediction. I think everybody, pretty much, if you go to Rowdy Talk, which has pretty much, like, asserted itself as, like, a really popular board there. I mean, you can go to our board, but ain't nobody on there. I'm not even on there. you know, they had, like, a whole schedule prediction thing. And also, like Rivalry Talk. You know, I kind of predicted this. I felt like there was going to be some animosity between the schools there, and there has been, between North Texas and UTSA, and I like it. I enjoy all of it. I don't understand the UTEP hate, or like the UTEP. I mean, I don't even think about UTEP, tell you the truth.
Seconded.
Huh? Yeah, it's like, I can see Louisiana Tech, but the problem with Louisiana Tech is they think they're better than everybody, and like I think ULM tries to get a little rivalry with them, but Louisiana Tech just doesn't care. They consider themselves like worthy of like the Pac-10 or something like that. Pac-12 or Pac-18, whatever the hell it is now. So it's kind of hard to get, you know, to get angry at a team that won't talk back. It just doesn't care. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Rice too. Is that where would be the fun in the rivalry when Rice?
Mm-hmm. Like Rice is
they're seen but not heard.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah, I think the cool thing about I think some people pointed out like, oh, like North Texan fans are just like Texas State people. And kind of, because they're similarly sized. But Texas State has, how many people? Like 32,000 people?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, and UTSA, what's the number now?
Like 28, 29.
Right, yeah, and North Texas has like 36. So they're similarly sized. It's the same kind of school, which I think is super important. It's not like a private school, neither one, public school. So, you know, you could have effectively, like, had you had a choice between the two. And so you chose one, your friend chose another. I like it. I like it. So that's that. That's the other thing that happened this summer. A little rivalry.
Hey, can I get to a listener question real quick?
Yes.
Okay, so at Sumbria underscore bump, he asked if the spread on UTSA against Oklahoma State is 35. Would you bet the under or the over?
No, I wouldn't. I think the thing about Oklahoma State is they like to run up the score.
I've seen them do it.
Yeah. So, like, even if, like, the score was going to be, like, 35 was going to be kind of close, and really they could just, like, run the ball out or that kind of thing, they're going to try to score and score more. So I think that's going to put them over the top there. I got a question, listener question from, let's see, where'd it go? I just kind of deleted it. I had it here, then I deleted it. All right, here we go. It's from UTSA grad 1998. We've seen him around. He says, Charles Wart, what happened to him? I am way behind. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good question. I never got an answer from anybody on that. I kind of asked, pottered around to see if I could get any insight into why he left the team, and I got stonewalled there.
Oh, strange mystery. Yeah. We do like Deadspin's I team. We do like Cooler Chronicles I team. Go forth and find out what happened to that guy.
Let's see. I'm gonna do a Twitter search on Charles Wart and see if he's registered at any other school.
Look at that live research going on right now.
Just by the timing of it, I kind of got the gut impression. Because it was right after the end, like a week after grades.
Yeah, by the way, if you have a question while Jared's looking this up, if you have a question, email it. It's podcast@coolerchronicles.com or send us a tweet or leave it on the Facebook page, which is Facebook Coca Chronicles, but, you know, whatever. Or, you know, like, you just tweet at either of us. Jared's at Jared, or Jared underscore CC, right? Or CC underscore Jared, which is it?
It's Jared underscore CC.
There you go. And me, you know,
I'm at no, I got my own Twitter name wrong. It's CC underscore Jared. A moron.
Well, how many times do you tweet at yourself, right?
Good point.
All right, so, looking through all these previews, what is your favorite preview so far? I mean, I've seen, like, the USA Today, they had one. Paul Meyerberg, who used to have the pre-snap read, got here in my hand, the Texas Dave Campbell's here. There's been, like, an SB Nation one. SB Nation, they do a good job looking at the stats, but you can tell that they're a little bit behind on the team. And also, it's, like, posted from, like, April or May or something like that.
Yeah, the SB Nation one is the one done by Bill Connolly.
Yeah, it's Connolly. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, those aren't bad, but they just feel like stat dumps to me.
Yeah. I think that's kind of how you end up with a prediction that says, like, UTSA is not going to do nothing because you don't see the team. You know?
Yeah.
There's a shit ton of Texans on the team. I noticed that. That was in here. Sure. What is that? I saw the number somewhere. Oh, God. I don't even have it.
84, something like that?
Yeah.
There's 104 guys on my roster right now. So I would guess there's only about 10 that are not Texans.
Yeah, like, I saw the number. The guy broke it down, and I don't even have it anymore. Look at me being prepared. That's fine. There's a shit ton of Texans. And that's, hey, we said that before. We said that, like, the first year, first podcast. That's the way you're going to build this team. Like, there's a crap ton of talent in Texas, and so you go steal those guys that, like, didn't have another option, and then so they, you know, they were the 24th, 25th guy maybe on the recruit roster at some other places, and that we're not going to get time, so they come here and be, you know, 14, 15 in the recruiting class. That's how you build a team here. Now, if only they can get some linemen. What else is on the agenda? Let's see.
Hey, going back to that Charles Wart ordeal, I don't think people are putting enough stock into that whole departure because, honestly, that's a pretty tough spot to replace. Obviously, the starter, Nick Johnson, a great, phenomenal player. But past that, you know, Ward was getting almost all the snaps. You know, Joseph Lascano was behind him. He was actually older. But, I mean, the fact that he lost his position to a freshman is kind of a bad sign.
Yeah.
There's no one past that.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a strange. It's a mystery. Did you figure out what it was that why he
left? No, I still don't know.
Strange. All right, good question, UTSA grad, 1998. Again, you send us an email, guys, if you want a question.
Yep. Now, there is a new guy that showed up unexpectedly on the roster this fall that I think might get some playing time, that dog safety linebacker type.
And who's that now?
Now, if you're a hardcore old-school UTSA fan, this name probably popped up to you if you checked the roster for the fall. His name is Reagan Robinshaw, and he was like a pretty big recruiting target in that class of, I think, 2010. Was that, like, the first recruiting class?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of their top defensive targets. He ended up committing to Northwestern State, I believe it was. This kid was a defensive end and a running back in high school. He was, like, all-district on both sides of the ball. Went in Northwestern State and ended up being a linebacker. He mostly played on special teams. And now he's listed as a safety at UTSA. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting journey the dude's taken. But I really think that he's a great fit for that position. He really is a lot like Charles Ward, where he was like an undersized linebacker. But he's a fantastic playmaker, dynamic in space. He's pretty much like the athletic build that this position is after. Hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if he can make the adjustments actually contributing.
Yeah, that, you know, that reminds me. That's a good thing about, like, that's why you always, what were they saying? Like, I think when they were recapping, who the hell was it? Whoever had, like, was it Arkansas? I forget who had, like, a crazy recruiting class this last season. Like, not Alabama, but some other team.
Ole Miss?
Yeah, that one. And they were kind of talking about it. Like, you kind of have to shoot for the stars, kind of. You basically have to talk to everybody. And it's good to make relationships with everybody, even people that you don't think that you're going to get. Not that in this case it was, but, you know, it worked out. They talked to him. He was on the radar. He ended up committing somewhere else. It didn't work out. He comes here. So
yeah,
you're not only...
That's how UTSA got Rashad Mabry.
Yeah.
Committed to Oklahoma State. High three-star, possibly four-star guy. And just because the UTSA coaches were like, screw it, we're going to recruit this guy because he's in city. You know, his mom got sick and he transferred to UTSA and not started, but heavily contributed. Really, a guy that UTSA had no business recruiting or getting on the roster, and just because they took the chance, it worked out really well.
Yeah, I think anybody, pretty much all the kids from San Antonio and the surrounding area, they at least should get a phone call, hey, don't forget about us kind of deal. Like, even guys, yeah. Like, maybe they're not going to work out, but like, hey, don't forget about us. We like you, and we're kind of paying attention. Just so that way, later on, if maybe they don't get any, you know, maybe they walk on, maybe they choose here. Maybe down the road, that kind of thing. It's, you know, planting seeds. It's the way to do it. I mean, it's how you do. It's how you recruit.
I agree. That's a big natural advantage that UTSA has over a lot of Conference USA schools. Like, Middle Tennessee, like, really, how many athletes are there in Mochesboro or whatever?
Murfreesboro? Yeah, Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's good. It's good to see the flower growing, you know? It's planted. It's growing, and we're gonna see it do some damage maybe this season. I'm excited about it, man. It's a decision point. It's a big tent pole here. That it's like you know, like the WAC was cool, get into the thing and playing like real FBS competition, or, you know, quote unquote FBS.
Full ranked teams.
Yeah, but like, you know, this is legit. It's like real competition. You're playing for something now. You know, it's not just, hey, we're just trying to improve, or, you know, have a good record, or, you know, get people out here. And I think it comes at the perfect time. Third year, everybody's like, yeah, we saw it. It was cool the first time. What else you got for me, you know?
Right.
And now we got big names, Oklahoma State, and, you know, and big competition, Conference USA. What do you think about the news coming out of the Big 12, like, media days, Big 10 media days, where they're like, you know what, we kind of want to break off. We kind of want to have, like, our own little section here.
I'm kind of with Southern Miss's new coach on this one. He came out at Conference USA media day. He said, if you guys want to split us up into a separate division, you know, that's fine, because you guys call the shots. You have the money. But don't come down to our division and think that you're going to schedule us for body bag games anymore, because really there's no advantage to them doing it. You know, like it should not count for a bowl counter to play an out of division team. So, you know, you're going to have a lot of your Tennessees, Mississippi State, you know, Kansas, schools like that. Like, they're legitimately going to not win a single game in this new division. Like, there are no wins for them if they don't play these FCS teams and these, you know, low feeder FBS teams. So if that's something that's attractive to the big money in college football, then go ahead and do it, whatever. But there's going to be no parity at all in that situation. And also, it's going to suck for those fans of teams that are in that upper division, but they're not as good as, say, your Alabama's, your Texas, A&M's.
Yeah, like what, Kansas, like the bottom feeders, the teams that, yeah. Dude, I totally agree with that. The only problem is that, like, you know, you gotta fill out the budget, you know what I mean? You're gonna need some money. I know, like, North Texas is gonna get, like, about $1 million, million plus to go to Georgia and get their asses whooped. I don't know, like, what the deal is with the Oklahoma State game. They just went home and home. That's really fucking crazy. Or, like, at least that's what I heard the original deal was. Like, getting them into the Alamo Dome is, you know, unusual. It's kind of unheard of.
Yeah, that really is a big deal.
So, like, I don't know, man. It's going to be weird. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited about it. But, yeah, like, I think that's the way to do it. It's probably the way every team should do it and say, we're not going to take any of the top 44, that little section, whatever they want to call themselves. But I think, you know, when the big money, when Alabama says, how about $3 million, you come over here and play us. You know what I mean? And you're like having to make decisions. Like, if we don't take this $3 million, we're not going to have, you know, an Olympics program, you know? We're not going to have women's softball or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so the coach's argument wasn't that the lower schools wouldn't take the money anymore. That his argument was that if these schools are that much better, that much influential, then they shouldn't even be allowed to schedule against the lower division.
That's true. I agree.
Right now, an FBS team cannot schedule against, you know, Division II school. Obviously, UTSA had an exception because they weren't FBS at the time that they were playing, you know, your Minot State, A&M Commerce, or whatever.
Right.
It'll be something to monitor. That'll be interesting for sure. In some ways, I like it, because if that were to happen, UTSA could be a national powerhouse, but they could also be a national powerhouse playing FCS. No one wants.
We got a comment. UTSA Paratrooper 04 says, 9 minutes ago, do y'all think runner fans will show up to UNT like we did to Rice last season? I don't see why that wouldn't be the case. I mean, you know, UNT games don't always fill up, not all the way. I mean, if you can get a nice contingent to go out there, like, I mean, Houston's a bit closer than Dallas. I don't know, that's going to scare anybody away. And maybe the time period is going to kind of maybe shake some people off coming.
Yeah, it's like 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that might, you know, hinder everybody's travel plans. Yeah. What is the date officially? I had to open here. Let me look at it. The official date is the 23rd, yeah. So, I don't know. Now, like, we're talking in a vacuum. Yeah, I don't see why UTSA fans wouldn't do that. The other thing is, like, when did the Rice game last season, like in October? Or was it September? I forget when it was. Rice. Oh, it was 1, 2, 3, 4. It was the sixth game of the season. I don't know what month that was.
That's probably October, I would guess.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think maybe, that might play a factor in it. There's a lot of factors in there. Everybody's always excited at the beginning of the season. It's always easier to get a big crowd, get people going. But by the time November comes around, you know, whatever your plans were, they start changing. You know?
If I had to put money on it, I would say no, because You got to keep in mind that most of the people that are riled up about playing UNT are your message board warriors, your Twitter addicts, so on and so forth. I don't think the average UTSA fan is really that fired up for UNT. I think they're more excited about probably having Rice again on the schedule and Louisiana Tech. I think 3 or 4 years down the line, it might be to where there's a legit rivalry. You know, between students and you're just your average fan. I don't think that exists right now. The Thanksgiving thing is going to be a big deterrent. You know, a lot of people didn't show up to the Texas State game because it was before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Blows my mind, whatever.
Yeah, and you know,
I would say not now.
That's a good point. There are a lot of people, depending on where you point the average, where you take, you know, like what you define as a fan, or people that are aware of UTSA football, I think the vast majority do not even know, you know, when the first game is. You know, like talking to some people there, I'm like, oh, so are you guys excited about UTSA football? They're like, oh yeah, man. When do they? When does it start? You know, like what is like when do they? Are they playing already? They're playing? Like no. You know, and then I kind of break. So they don't even know that when or who we're playing. So they don't even know Oklahoma State's coming. I think I told one of the guys at work, I'm like, yeah, Oklahoma State's going to come in. They're like, really? Like, Oklahoma State's going to come in here? Like, yeah, it's been advertised and you know, talked about for a while. And yet.
All of my friends and friends, they're all really fired up by the game. I know people that are coming in from states over.
I know that. I know that. I'm just saying, like, so, like, depending on where you pick average, if you say the average student, but I'm sure, like, of San Antonio, if you consider them fans, it depends on what you call a fan. People that are just aware of the program.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. So, yeah, I totally agree that they know that Oklahoma State's coming, and that's about it, and that there are games going on. You do have some people, like making jokes, though, all the time. I heard that a couple times. I think you're going to talk radio ones. Like, are they still going to be playing, like, Newer State, right? High five. No. I mean, whatever, dude. Anyway, I want to give a shout-out to, like, what, Gonzo and SA, right? And JP and Gibbons there on Saturdays. They're having, like, a series, and we've had to turn them down, like, 2 weeks in a row. You know, they're having a little segment, UTSA Talk, there. I know one of our big complaints for a long time was that we don't get enough talk, you know? We don't get enough, like, media coverage. So shout out to them for, you know, like, not only going from podcasting on, you know, like, a Tuesday night to having, like, a Wednesday night show to now having a Saturday show, but then also carving out time to talk. And they've always been friends of our program, you know? And so good on them. I think we're working out of time. We're gonna go on there and talk some sports, talk some UTSA on that show, so stay tuned.
Those guys are great. You really need to get on the ground floor for that show, because I am pretty positive that in a couple of years' time, they're really going to be the new face of San Antonio radio.
Yeah, Gonzo's he's been like filling in for what, Dat Wynn a couple times. I think he filled in for what's his face, Jason Minnix.
Yeah,
ESPN The Zone. Sorry, it's my Jason Minnix impression. Yeah, so follow that. Get on that train. Get on the ground floor.
Adam, you probably follow this a lot more than I do, but it kind of seems like this Mike Taylor fellow is kind of phasing himself out of the San Antonio market.
I don't know. I mean, he's on in the morning now, is what happened. Like, because he went to Green Bay, and I guess it was for just a little bit, and I think his chick, his tita, she moved down to, she's in Austin now, so he's doing that, and he calls it like an experiment. I've caught it a couple times. He's on the mornings now. It's the Mike Taylor Show in the mornings, and it's simulcast, or it's like broadcast in both cities, here and in Austin. So he does that. And, you know, I think Austinites are doing the same kind of thing that San Antonians did to him. Like, you know, what are you doing here? Go back to San Antonio or go back to Dallas.
Yeah.
You don't know nothing about no Texas Longhorns. and so, like, you know, he's doing his thing there. And then the guy that's now in the afternoon, has been in the afternoon to replace him the whole time, is this guy Jeff Sheen. You know, I'm not his biggest fan. I'll just say that there. I'm gonna be mean. I'm just not the biggest fan. But that's sports talk radio here in San Antonio. I don't really listen to the grind when I don't know what they're doing. So that's it. Like, I mean, I don't know. I will give some props to whatever show, you know, talk some UTSA sports, talk some local sports, because it's easy to kind of just ape what you know, like Jim Rome is doing, or you know, Jay Moore, I guess now, is doing, or any of these guys, and talk like nationally, like talk some A-Rod stuff. Not a whole lot of people really, really care. And also, if you want to be unique, talk about some stuff going on here, you know? Talk about some high school football. Talk about some UTSA football. Some UTSA basketball, please, because nobody ever talks about that. And then also, you know, maybe some San Antonio Scorpions, the Rampage. I know JP likes the Rampage. Talk about some stuff that, like, here, even just like a little tiny segment. All right, San Antonio talk. And you will, you know, win the undying love of, like, the hard-up people here. I mean, everybody here, that's why we're doing this podcast, because we don't get a whole lot of UTSA talk, and that's what we created. We had to talk about it ourselves and share it with the peoples. Here you go, peoples. Do we have any other comments? I see something.
I think we're caught up on listener questions right now.
Let's see. Wait. Well, Messiah 1977 says, I think people that want to replace Texas State with UNT, but that rivalry needs... I don't know what it says there. It got cut off.
It says it needs to develop organically.
Ah, okay. There you go. Cool.
I agree. I think that's why a lot of people are thinking that Louisiana Tech might end up being a big rivalry, because there is some bad blood on the court and on the field.
Yeah.
But both programs are pretty ambitious. So there's some similarities there in good ways.
I'd like the UNT-UTSA thing to develop, and I'm kind of rooting for that. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, like the Spurs, San Antonio Spurs had a rivalry with Utah, you know, for a long time. And, like, what things do they have in common, right? So, you know, that's a good – this is a good – all right, so what else do we have on?
Bro, we actually just got another question. Will there be a Roadrunner watch party for the Lobo game, and if so, where? I'm pretty sure there's going to be a watch party at Freetail.
Yeah. Isn't that the Inside UTSA one?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that is locked up for sure. I mean, if that doesn't fade out, that's not on me. But I'm pretty positive that's happening.
Yeah. So go there. The only thing about Freetail is that it's kind of smallish. And, like, I don't know. Like, they have TVs outside. Like, where's that TV? Is that game going to be on TV? Like, what channel? The CBS?
Yeah, it's on some local station.
Okay. So, I mean, the only problem there is that you kind of get boxed out. You kind of lose. If you don't get there early enough, you won't be able to see anything. I don't know of anything else besides that. Like, if you know something or you're setting something up and you want to get the word out there and you only have like 10 Twitter followers, email us and we'll put it out there. We'll put it like a nice little blog post. Here are the places you want to be. And, you know, here's what you need to know. So let us know, and we'll pass it on to everybody else. We'll even try to mention it when we get on the Gonzo and SA show, so that way they can, you know, pass it on to their multitudes of followers and things. And, you know, everybody can have a good time, hang out with some Roadrunner faithful, and, you know, give high fives and whatnot. All right.
Do you want me to give a quick, like, ball camp update in, like, the 10 minutes that we have left?
Yeah, read the comment about was it Kevin Tony Dale? That one.
That's what we were just talking about, dude.
Oh, that's what? Oh. I think mine's delayed. Oh, that's weird.
Oh, right. Might be. Okay.
Ball
camp started this week. They were in pads for the first time today, so it's really hard to take all this stuff at face value. There's a lot of dudes that go out there and ball out in 7-on-7, and then they put the pads on, and they're just completely different players. But so far, the freshmen that have really impressed are kind of the ones that were expected, the bigger recruits. Jarvin Williams out of Converse Judson. He had like 7 offers, I think. Ended up staying at home at UTSA. He played defense all throughout his high school career. Moved over to running back his senior year and just went off, like lit it up. I think he ended up having like 25 touchdowns his senior year, his 1 year to play running back or something like that. And he's an extremely quick dude, but he also has pretty good size. I think he's like 5'10", 195 or something like that. So not your average, like, scat back, 5'7", 5'9", running back. But Evans Okocha actually went down with a cramp at the beginning of practice. So they went ahead and put Jarvion Williams in to get all the reps, like with the second string offense. They said that he was all over the field, extremely fast. So I really doubt he's going to get redshirted. I think he's too good to not play, even if it is like that. That's a name to keep in mind. Also, Michael Iguagu. I think it's how you pronounce the name. I've never been sure about that one. But he's a recruit coming in for the dog position that Charles Fort vacated. So pretty damn likely that he's going to see some serious playing time this year. The kid's an animal, too. It'll be fun to watch. Really smart guy. The type of guy that you root for. He also has a budding rap career, and he's actually a pretty good rapper.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not your average, like, I'm a football player, and I'm going to record a mixtape. Cool. He's actually pretty damn talented.
Oh, man.
It'll be a fun one to watch.
All right, cool. So pencil those in to, like, keep them, like, you know, in your back pocket, so that way when your friends, you know, from work, the people that don't really follow it, they're like, so who should I watch? And you can tell them you sound smart, right? And they're like, and then you become their guru. And, you know, you can, like, you know, you win cool points, you know? It's always good. They'll buy you a beer. That's really always the goal, right? You get a beer. Free beer. Free beer is always my goal.
Hopefully right. They're going to have some, like, little inter-squad scrimmages before the season starts.
Yeah. Where does everybody get where do you get your UTSA news? I know, besides from, like, you know, the blogs and whatever, things like that. Because I kind of noticed that I kind of changed mine. Like, it used to be, like, Dan McCarney he used to be a beast on the UTSA thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And, I mean, like, you know, again, not to knock the current beat writer, but, like, I feel like I don't get any news from the San Antonio Express News anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's, like, disappeared, dried up.
Riggs is like a press release type of reporter. Like, I feel like 90% of the time when I click on his blog, it's going to be the shit that comes from UTSA.com.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Inside UTSA does a terrific job. You know, yeah. I'm a subscriber there. I think they just knock it out of the park. If you're not too big into recruiting, you know, you might be hesitant to pitch the money at it. They do have a 30-day free trial where you can check it out. You know, for me, it's really worth it because I want to be up to date on all the recruiting side of things. But Wes and Mike are really smart dudes. They know their football. You know, so it's pretty refreshing to have guys with a really high football IQ talk about the team.
Yeah.
So that's my endorsement.
There you go. In the background, I see what? Tanya Richards Ross. I don't know what the hell are you watching over there. Sorry, there's some weird show going on in the background. It's on Wii TV for whatever reason. Whatever. Anyway, so what was I going to say? Yeah, so that's good. You get it from there. I think that's kind of how it adjusted. Since the rival site came out there, I think that's where everybody's kind of adjusted their news. And they get a lot from there and a lot less from my essay. Like, but the thing is that Dan didn't really just, like, focus on recruiting. He did a lot of that stuff. I know that's like half of the coverage of college football. But he did some other stuff. He did some, like, you know, some profiles of some of the players, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just curious. It kind of popped into my head. All right. What else we got here? You know the other thing that's been happening? A lot of, like, national stories. Like, you know, look at UTSA getting ready to play football. Larry Kilker, do you remember him? Well, he's turned up in little old San Antonio getting ready to play some. So you got a lot of those stories going on right now. Like, any search for UTSA football or you know, any of the related terms brings those kind of things up. I don't know what I think of that. It's like, all right, you guys really haven't been paying attention, right? Everybody's like, they have this surprise. Like, wow, little old UTSA, look at them do some good stuff. The good thing is that you got a little goodwill. I mean, like the one guy, what's his name? The guy does YouTube videos of him playing NCAA. And he, like, picked
YouTube. Oh, I think Mr. Hurricane.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. So you get that. You know, the little program that could, I guess. I noticed a lot of that. Sorry, drinking some drink. Man,
I'm getting blown up on Twitter right now about my mic. Evidently, it's awful.
Yeah, it is pretty awful. Sorry about that, guys. We're going to get Jared another mic before next podcast, and we'll work it all out. But I think this has pretty much more or less been some kind of success. You can hear us live, and it's recording. And I'll see if I could boost his levels up, like, for the post, like, in the post-production. So if you can't hear anything you're saying now, hopefully when you listen to it again tomorrow or later on, you'll be good to go. Aside of that, I think we're gonna kind of wrap this up here. You got any final touches? You got a last word?
No, I mean, we could go deeper into the schedule, into New Mexico and all that. Yeah. We kind of need to leave some material for next week. Yeah, the following week too. So we still have 3 weeks till the season.
Teasing you, leaving you wanting more. So all right, Jared, what, like, you know, you got anything you want to endorse? You're doing some stuff. You got like, I don't know, you got anything going on? I know you're doing some freelancing or something like that.
Yeah, I quit my job and I just started doing freelance stuff for money so I can just enjoy my last summer of college.
There you go.
It's pretty nice, I can't lie. So if you guys need any like logos or posters or websites or whatever, holler at me.
There you go. You can hit him up at Jared. You can even send him an email via the podcast or via the blog.
I'm a pretty easy guy to find on the internet.
Yeah, he's all over the place. Let's see. And me, I mean, you know, like you'll notice that this thing says Joe's Street Podcast. I try to put them all these stupid podcasts that I do, all in one place. There's that one that we've kind of been putting on hold with Brandon Germain. He wants to talk tech. It's his podcast, not mine and his. It's his podcast. And I know he wants to have you on there, Jared.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So there's that one. Obviously, there's the Deranged Penguin one if you don't like a whole lot of sports. I mean, obviously, you like sports. But if you want to hear talk about other things, talk about music, movie reviews, and people making poop jokes, basically, that's Deranged Penguin. And then, you know, there's the other one. The other one's going to be the UNT one. So there you go. They're all in nice one place. Like you're like, I don't want to read all your stupid blog posts. I just want to listen to podcasts, or I want to hear local stuff. We try to squeeze in a lot of that there. Like San Antonio is a place for podcasts, right, guys?
Are there any general San Antonio news you want to discuss?
Let's see. I guess. I mean, I don't know what's going on in San Antonio. It's been hot as shit. There's that.
Yeah, no doubt. What's new there?
Yeah. I heard. I am getting old. Here's how I know I'm getting old. Because my peer group is talking about watering the lawn. And that used to be old guy stuff. Like, they just got completely broke off in the conversation. They're talking about football. And they're like, dude, my lawn, grass is dying. I was like, what the hell are you guys talking about? So, I'm getting old. Anything else? Do you have anything San Antonio related you want to throw in there?
We just had the 1 hour mark. So, try to wrap it up, I guess. No one wants to listen to this for more than an hour.
No, well, that's an hour there. It says 52 minutes here. I got 8 minutes.
Oh, gotcha.
I'll say this, that Fiesta's going to be 2 weeks now. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for 2 weeks Fiesta.
Yeah, for some reason, I always thought that it was that long.
It's 11 days, so like now, or 10 days, whatever. So they're just going to stick it out for another week because, you know, whatever. Like it's because Easter's falling right in the middle of the thing there.
Yeah, honestly, I think there's a demand for it because like every hotel in San Antonio, all the way down to like Floresville, gets booked up all of Fiesta.
Yeah.
Why not stretch it out and bring in some extra money?
There you go, man.
Honestly.
All right.
Yeah, we got to get our downtown rail system paid for somehow. So let's just extend Fiesta.
There you go. We'll just have like a year-long Fiesta until we finish paying off the stuff there. All right, so again, hit me up on Twitter, AztecSkin, Cooler Chronicle. Jared is at Jared. He's also CC underscore Jared. Don't forget Schaefer underscore CC. He's out there. He couldn't make the podcast tonight. He's probably not going to be on him. He's really busy being a cool guy. And what else? Gonzo and SA, you want to check them out. Inside UTSA, the rival site, you want to check them out. Josephine Street Podcast, that's where you want to find all those other podcasts. And, of course, CoolerChronicles.com. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And
birds sticking with us.
Are we sticking with the birds up? Is that a thing now?
Yeah, we should probably do a different one every year. I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll go birds up right now. Because that's what old Larry over there is tweeting, you know?
Oh, a special shout-out to everyone that listened to us live.
Always yeah, yeah.
I know my voice sounds terrible.
We'll fix it. All right.
Later, we'll be
guys.
Better.